Test 1, 2, check, check, test. It's good? Check, check. 1, 2, check, 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 test.
At New Year's time, we hear the question, are you going to live any different this year? Any New Year's resolutions? As people saved by grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is always change happening in us. We are being transformed into Christ-likeness. We are in the process of sanctification, where sin is being exposed and killed, and glorifying God is increasing. We are made holy at salvation, and we are being made holy by the Holy Spirit. And we have this incredible promise in Philippians 1:6, where the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is telling us, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This isn't about becoming mindless robots, just going along with God. God wants us, wants our wills to be engaged so that what He wants becomes what we want. And that is loving Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This is exactly what is happening in genuine Christ-like transformation. It's not business as usual. In Luke chapter 7, there's a record there of the interaction between Jesus and some Pharisees, and clearly the Pharisees, for them, it's always business as usual. Living like they want to live. They have the Messiah in front of them, sent by the Lord, and He's backing up His words with all these miracles, yet the Pharisees consistently reject Him, reject what He's saying, reject the miracles, and they cling to their prideful hearts. Just business as usual. Status quo. Forget you, Messiah. Status quo. Business as usual is just coasting along with how things have always been and keeping the status quo. No New Year's resolutions or mid-year or anything like that. But God is calling us to lives where we enjoy Him more and more, which means growing in our worship, surrendering to Him, believing Him, trusting Him, and being centered on Him. And because we are not fully sanctified yet, life can't just go on business as usual. There will be a continual readjusting, renewal, and a refocusing going on in all genuine worshipers of the Lord. This kind of renewal and refocusing can be seen in the life of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament. Throughout their history, they had many times of just going along with business as usual. But then God would step in and do some house cleaning, some heart cleaning out, as He did in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1 to 20. This passage is among a number of chapters explaining who the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel were and what they were like. And as a nation, Judah had just experienced a spiritual renewal under King Hezekiah, who was King Manasseh's father. And then King Manasseh takes the throne. It's his turn to be king. He's the longest serving king at 55 years. But King Manasseh, more than any other king, was responsible for the destruction of Judah. In verse 2, we are told he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And his list of evil actions are terrible. He sacrificed his own children to idols, just like his grandfather, King Ahaz, did. He murdered... Like, just imagine this. He murdered his own kids in the name of worship. That's how evil his heart was. Just imagine a little bit going through that motion of, oh, I'm here to worship my gods, and here I'm taking one of my own sons and putting them there and killing him. That's where this guy was at. He replaced idols and altars back on the mountaintops. His dad had destroyed them, but he puts them all back up there so that people could worship those idols again. He tried consulting the dead, which is condemned in Exodus 22 and Deuteronomy 18. So it was a part of Israel's history that you do not consult the dead. And he set up altars for worshiping idols inside God's temple, doing all kinds of demonic, occultic worship in the temple of God. He brought that inside, which is a big deal. We might just think, well, it's a building. You know, some churches, they sell their building to some other group and they do all kinds of stuff in there. It's not that case here. Here, the Lord told David that he's going to build a temple. He got Solomon to build that temple. This was the first time that God had made a place where he is a solid, permanent place where he was going to be worshipped, the temple. And that was dedicated to his name, just to the Lord. Well, here comes King Manasseh, and he sets up all these other altars and these idols to these false gods in the sovereign Lord's home that he had claimed for himself. That's what he's doing. It is the equivalent of us, of me right now hauling out a statue of Buddha, putting it up here, and starting to worship Buddha in the midst of our worship service. And even worse, it is having temple prostitutes doing their work inside this building that is dedicated to the Lord, to worshiping him. That's what this is like. It is awful, awful, awful. But that's what King Manasseh was like. Him and the people of Judah, they exceeded the Canaanites in their idol worship. Their pagan degradation was brutal. Not just doing the same as the people before them. Not just doing the same, but doing worse than them. Worse than them. These are the people of God who have this rich history of prophets and Abraham and Moses. These are those same people worshiping idols and false gods, even worse than people who had never received the truth from God. That's what they're doing. Worse than. King Manasseh's reign was terribly evil, and the reforms that his dad brought, they were gone. Finished. And verse 10 says, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. And here again, you know, we get people saying, oh, the Old Testament God is so evil and he's so vicious. I like the New Testament God. He's so loving. There's no dichotomy between the two, that they're separate. Listen to this. The Lord spoke to Manasseh. After all that they have done in rejecting him and worshiping these false gods and doing these awful things of killing their kids to these false gods, here the Lord speaks to Manasseh and his people. In God's mercy and grace and kindness, he spoke to Manasseh and the people through his prophets, warning them, but they paid no attention. They ignored God. Business as usual. We're just going to keep trucking along the way we're going. Hey, don't go that way. Come back to the sovereign Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. No. We're going to keep going this way. Keep going this way. Pagan worship, ignoring God, doing their own thing, calling their own shots. And as a result of their sin, judgment came upon King Manasseh and on Judah, and they're taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And while in captivity, God is so good, constantly good. King Manasseh fell into great distress, so much distress that it resulted in him humbling himself greatly before the Lord. This crisis genuinely drove him to the Lord in repentance. For Manasseh, it was no longer business as usual. His heart and his eyes were opened. And listen, he realized that only the Lord is God. I love the way that's put there. Only the Lord is God. Those wooden rock idols that they set up and they're saying, oh, here's my God, let's worship this God. No, Manasseh, his eyes were open to the truth that those aren't gods. Those are dead materials. That's nothing. There is only one God, and he is the Lord. He is God. A massive change took place in him, substantially to the core of who he is. The Lord made that change happen. The Lord opened King Manasseh's eyes. And as a result, he got, the result of the repentance and the turning away from those idols, he was worshiping the Lord, started worshiping the Lord, and got rid of the foreign pagan idols and altars in the temple area and in the countryside. He brought the temple of the Lord back to what it was meant for, worshiping the Lord. Manasseh had rejected the Lord, ignored him, did brutal worship and practices, but the Lord did not leave him or the people. He didn't leave them alone. He brought discipline. He brought judgment on them, and that resulted in humility and repentance. That judgment and discipline was God's blessing on them, a renewal, a refocusing and understanding and a belief that only the Lord is God. God ended business as usual for Manasseh and cleaned up his heart and mind. Sadly, the whole nation wasn't entirely involved in this. We see from other passages that many of the people continued to worship other gods. They just put a different name on it. Oh, to Yahweh? Okay, yeah, we'll throw that name on to this idol and we'll worship. They had that kind of stuff still going on. Everything was still business as usual, but just a little bit of an adjusted worship, but still worshiping idols. That's some of the history of the people of God. Church, it's New Year's Day. And God does not want us to be business as usual. For some of us, this will be our last year here on earth. For all of us, it could be the best God-glorifying year to date. But it can't be business as usual. For it not to be business as usual requires something from us. It costs. It costs us giving up and surrendering to the Lord and to his will. Satisfaction and fulfillment is found when we surrender to him. That song that was being played during the offering, it's only in your will that I am free. That line's never jumped out to me before, but that is amazing. It's only in your will that I am free. It's not over here running around doing whatever you want to do that is freedom. Freedom isn't doing whatever you want to do. Freedom is actually being in the Lord's will. So big picture, stopping the business as usual, that does require making significant life adjustments. But it also means that many, many times, hour by hour, that we refocus and we return to what the Lord says, and we face sin, we face unbelief, we start believing what God is saying, we start trusting what God is saying, and doing what we were meant to do and created to do, which is worship the Lord. But even that not going business as usual, even that that surrendering, that renewal with the Lord, and that following the Lord, for that to happen, we have to hear God's word. This comes up over and over and over again. We have to hear God's word. We have to listen to God's word. We have to have God's word guiding us. We have to have God's word change the way that we are thinking. And we have to be obeying God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer doesn't lie in buying a new devotional book or trying some new mystical method of talking to God or hearing from God or trying some new fancy prayer techniques to hear from God. We don't need to have these stories of, well, this is what the Lord has told me. We don't need people telling us, God told me in a dream that you should. No. God has told all of us the same thing in the objective Word of God, the Bible. And we need to be all about Him according to His Word. His Word. To not live business as usual lives in 2017 means we need to hear, obey, pray, sing, study, ask questions, struggle with, enjoy, give, memorize, value God's word. Feeding on the Lord through His word. I guarantee you, if your intake of God's word is just a few sentences a week, you are starving. Starving. The Lord is calling us to surrender to Him, to enter abundant living, according to His definition of abundance, which we know will be great because He is the Lord of everything. He has made heaven for Himself to enjoy His children, and it is going to be great. How much greater is the One who created heaven than heaven itself? Who knows abundant life more than the Creator of life? Who knows abundant life more than the way, the truth, and the life? The Lord is calling us to stop messing around with sin, stop being okay with your personal sin, stop the business as usual living, the status quo living according to your wisdom. God wants us to believe His promise of quenching our thirst, eating the bread of life, and satisfying our hunger, which comes by the Holy Spirit and His Word. Will 2017 be business as usual for you? What needs reforming? What idols and sinful practices need to die? Will it take distress, a crisis, hitting rock bottom before you reform, before you come to repentance? Are you going to keep looking for something, anything, to make this year great? Or will you surrender to the Lord? Will you do little adjustments to your worship, to your behavior? Or will you surrender to the Lord? Are you willing to be humble and face sin and clean out your heart? Are you willing to go a new way for Christ? Now, some of you are not living business as usual. Praise the Lord. You're like, I don't want anything to do with that business as usual stuff. I want to have the Lord renew me and get me in line with what He has going on, to open my eyes to His truth. And to you I say, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. No matter what tough stuff comes up this year, know that we never ever have to ask, Lord, be with me. Right? Because if the Holy Spirit is deposited in me, I've said this 3 times already this morning, I'm repeating myself. If the Holy Spirit is deposited in us as a guarantee that we belong to God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, if the Holy Spirit is a deposit in us guaranteeing our eternal life, because of Jesus, then God is always with us. And therefore, we don't have to say, Lord, please be with me, because God is with us. And we have that promise moving forward to no matter what comes up in 2017, no matter what comes up, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we are facing whatever comes with the Holy Spirit. That is living. That is living. Will you pray for reform, for your eyes to be open to the Lord's life of abundance? Will you do that? Will we do that? Church, make 2017, pray for 2017 to be a year where the Lord brings many, many reforms to your heart and to your mind. May He glorify Himself incredibly in your life and in my life. We're going to sing a closing song together, so if the band would make its way on up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song of response to the Lord. And the song is, All to Jesus I Surrender. But I'm asking that we would sing this song and mean it. I know that there's some songs that are very nostalgic for us. They bring back all kinds of memories. We just love belting them out. We love the tune, whatever it is. And we sing hard and we miss the words. But let's sing these very tough